we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are thankful that you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we just want to thank you for listening to the Refresh Radio program. It is a program that is brought to you by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God and anyone else whose heart God moves to make a donation to this ministry. We are talking about abiding in the Spirit causes us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's not supposed to be fruit that just the pastor manifests. It's not supposed to be fruit that just the Sunday school teachers manifest. It's not supposed to be the fruit that just the board members manifest. It is supposed to be fruit that every Christian manifests in their life. And so right now we have talked about the fruit of the Spirit is love, and now we are talking about joy. On yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about the joy of receiving the Word of God. A lot of people don't like to hear sound Bible teaching. They don't like to get their feelings hurt. They don't like to get corrected by the Word of God. But I'm telling you that when we embrace the Word of God, it minimizes discomfort in our life. And so we are thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the whole council. I'm thankful God doesn't have to tiptoe around the tulips with me when it comes to my life. He's God, I'm not. So when he speaks, I listen. You know, I am old enough to remember the E.F. Hutton commercials where, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says, in the whole busy atmosphere comes to a stop because everybody wants to hear what E.F. Hutton says. Well, as far as I know, E.F. Hutton isn't around anymore, but God is. And we need to hear what God has to say. We want to take just a moment to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. There's a lot of construction going on around Brevard County right now, and a week or so ago, I was driving around. I saw people out working on concrete in the heat of the day, and prayed for them because, you know what? It's hot out there. And if you have a job to do, I don't know about you, but when I saw those guys out there and they were spraying the water on it to keep it from drying out too fast, I was like, you know what? I'm glad I know professionals who can do that sort of stuff, and I don't have to play the guessing game as to whether I'm doing it correctly or not. And so if you've got block work, concrete work, anything like that you need to have done, give them a call, 321-536-5804. Ask for Greg at 321-536-5804. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio broadcast. And they will come out and get you fixed up. So tonight is our last night that we do not have our kids' classes. We resume those next week with a back-to-school theme night at our on our Wednesday night service. The kids are going to have a great time. We've got plans that we're putting in place for that. And we're really, really excited about what we're going to present to the kids. To celebrate the fact that they get to go back to school and they won't be bored. Right now, our kids are away at camp. We'll be picking them up on Friday, and really excited about what God is going to do in their lives. So let's get to the Word of God if we can. If we can't, we're in trouble. So we're going to get to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13. We were in Matthew chapter 13 yesterday when we talked about the parable of the sower and how that word is received. You see, each one of those four soils had the opportunity to receive the same seed, which is the Word of God. It had to do with the manner in which they received the Word, which they applied themselves to understand the Word, the priority that they placed upon the Word, and the depth to which they allowed the Word of God to get into their heart. If you're just interested in God staying on a superficial relationship, in all honesty, I think you're going to be pretty miserable. If that's not the case, then you're going to be constantly dealing with signs of immaturity. You know, I have a lot of people that I run into from time to time, and we may be similar in age, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're similar in our lifestyle, similar in the drama level that we have in our life. And I want to encourage you, allow the Word of God to go down deep into your existence, and it will minimize the drama and increase the adventure. You know, I don't know how things operate around your house, but when my wife and daughters, very, very active in ministry, very, very active in ministry. And so every once in a while, I will come home and they will be in veg mode. Now, in all fairness, there are times when they come home and I'm in veg mode. When I'm in veg mode, there generally is golf on the television or something like that. When they're in veg mode, they're watching dramas. They like to watch British dramas and the BBC and things like that. And you know, when they're in drama mode, then it's time for me to go find something else to do. And so I don't know about you. I don't like a lot of drama in my life. I like adventure. I don't like drama. And so there is a difference there. So if you want less drama, allow the Word of God to reach into the depths of your life and bring the changes that God wants to bring. Let's get to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be in verse number 44. It's the only verse we're going to read. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Let me read that verse to you again. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." What this is describing, it's describing the kingdom of heaven. It is a parable. It says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So if your world is not like this, then there's a part of your world that is not reflecting the kingdom of heaven the way that God wants it to. Okay. Again, we're talking about manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. And so I ask you, have you been on a treasure hunting expedition with your relationship with Jesus? You see, there are a lot of people who they know that something is missing in their life, and they go looking for satisfaction. And so a lot of times they will try, drugs. They'll try alcohol, generally in the reverse order. They will try immorality. They will try money. They will try possessions. They will try hedonism, which is all about the pleasures of this life. They will try intellectualism. They're constantly trying to satisfy that longing that they have inside. I remember hearing of a football player. You know, and when you grow up playing sports as a kid, you're always dreaming about winning the World Series or winning the Super Bowl or winning a major golf tournament. You dream about that sort of stuff. And so this young man had grown up playing football. He's younger than I am, and he had grown up wanting to win the Super Bowl. And finally his team reached that mark, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And after the immediate celebration had ended, the reality kind of hit him. Is this all that there is? Is this all that there is? And so instead of realizing that there may be something of even greater ability to bring joy into his life, he set out to win more and more and more, thinking that maybe if I accomplish it twice or three times or however many times it takes, maybe then it will satisfy this longing that I have. But I'm here to tell you that even achieving the greatest heights in whatever field you may be in, whether it's sports or work, whatever it might be, there's always going to be a disappointment, because that's still not going to satisfy the longing that you have in your heart, because only Jesus can fill that space. And so it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a person who was searching for treasure, and when he came into this field, he found a treasure that was greater than any treasure he had ever known. And when he found that treasure and he compared it with everything else that he had in his life, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to purge everything else out of my life so that I can come and buy the field. Okay? I want you to see, it didn't say that he went and got rid of everything so that he could buy the treasure. It said that he went and sold everything that he had so that he could come and buy the field. You say, well, what is the point of distinction in that? The point is this, is that when you have the field, when you own the field, you own the treasure in the field as well. You own all of the produce that it's ever going to be able to produce. You own all of the minerals that are underneath there. You own everything that is included in the boundaries of that field. And today I want to encourage you that you let Jesus come into not just your heart, but you say, God, I want you in every area of my life. You could make the argument, you know, if you look at this passage, that in Jesus' eyes, you are the field, that you're the great treasure, and that he gave himself upon the cross so that he could have you and he could have me. There's this relationship that we have with God. Too many times we are looking for what God can do for us instead of realizing that what we need is God to be in control, knowing that when we have Jesus in our lives to the uttermost, that not only does Jesus come, but everything that he has in his entourage comes with him. Every blessing, every healing, every availability to pray and seek his face. Those are the types of things that we are looking for. And it says here that when he found it, when he hid it, that when he parted with his goods, when he sold everything that he had so that he could buy this entirely new field and the treasure that comes in the field, it says that he did it with joy. He did it with joy. And so I want to ask you today, if Jesus came to you and asked you the same question he asked the rich young ruler. Actually, the rich young ruler asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he told him, and he said, "Well, all those things have I kept since my youth." And he said, "Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and come and follow me." And it said that the young man went away very sorrowful because he had great riches. It doesn't mean that rich people have to go and sell everything that they have in order to become a Christian. It does not mean that. What it does mean is that when you embrace Jesus in your life, that there is nothing that can compare with having him in your life. We sing those songs, "Nothing can compare and can even come close." And my singing is terrible right now, so we're not going to continue that. But with the presence of the Lord, nothing can compare to him. We sing about that. But then the next Sunday, when it comes time to go to church, are we jubilantly getting up and saying, "Man, I can't wait to get to the house of God"? I have a feeling that there are some things that we cling to. When I think that if we would say, "God, if you want all of this, it's yours." There's a song that's on the radio. I don't much care for the theology of the song. I think the singer is very talented, very gifted. And, it says, "If you want to steal my show," and I want you to know, this is not my radio program. This is God's radio program. If he wants to take over this radio program, if he wants it to continue, if he wants it to discontinue, it's his radio program. That's what it is. He's not stealing anything. I have found that God is better to me than I could have ever been to myself. And there's nothing that I can provide. When Sarai tried to provide for Abraham a way to bring about the solution, I don't think she was trying to bring about the solution. I think she was trying to say, "You're the problem, not me." But that's a sermon for a different day. Whenever that got involved, whenever she tried to help out and said, "Here, let me solve the problem my way," it created some complicated relationships and dynamics that are still at play even to this day. But what if we said, "You know what, God, I'm going to praise you right now. I love the character of Leah." Not that Leah was, a perfect human being, but she started out miserable. She started out unloved, and she reached that place when she thought that people would be attached to her by now. Boy, do I understand that. And she said, "You know what? I'm not looking for daddy's love anymore. I'm not looking for my husband's love anymore. Not looking for my sister's love anymore. I'm just going to start praising God for what he has done." And folks, that is a level of joy. And after that, she had named her kids, "Surely God has seen how miserable. Surely he's heard my cry. Surely he's seen that my husband doesn't love me. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me." All of that. But after that, she started naming her kids happy and fortunate. She started naming them honor and just wonderful, wonderful names of destiny, because she learned the secret that there is joy in your relationship with God, even when others disappoint you, even when they let you down, that they can't have that control over your life. I tell you what, why don't we make this decision in our life and say, "I'm not going to surrender something that's supposed to be under God's control. I'm not going to surrender that to another man, another woman, another boy, another girl. I'm not going to surrender it. It's God's, and I'm going to rejoice in him. You know what? It ought to. How easy do you think it would be if we Christians demonstrated an abandon to the things of the world just so that we could have Jesus, so that we could be a part of his kingdom and see the blessings and say, you know what, this new inheritance that I'm walking in is better than anything that the world has to offer. How simple would it be to win people to Jesus if we realized that we had a contentment that the world doesn't have, and there's no counterfeit that is going to measure up to the authentic, genuine joy that comes from having Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that in reality is what we ought to be doing. This is a joy that comes from getting rid of things of diminishing value so that we can embrace a priceless treasure. I encourage you to do that. Well, let's look at one more. Matthew chapter 25. Let's go over to there. Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to begin reading verse number 14. Again, this is about the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Listen to this. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let me tell you that a master would not entrust his servants with his own resources unless he had first trained those servants to do business the way that the master would do business. Servants did not dictate to the master how they were going to do business. The master trained the servants in how they should operate and handle his resources. And that is, you put the resources that God has given to you, you put them to work in the way in which God would do it himself. You and I are stewards. We are servants. We are stewards of God's resources. And so I encourage you, you put those resources to use the way that God would, because the goal here is profitability for the master. Okay? There is nothing in this story that indicates that there was any expectation that there was going to be any other pleasure than presenting back to the master and increase the way that they had been trained to handle his resources. And so when the master returns, it didn't matter if it was the one with five. It didn't matter if it was the one with two. It mattered that they had taken what had been entrusted to them, knowing that there would come a day of accountability, and they put those resources to use. And when the master came back, they were able to say, here's what you entrusted to me, and here's what has been gained with it. Okay? If you hear something on this program, I hope that you share the fool out of it. I hope that you tell people, if there's a good word that comes, say, you need to go on WMIEFM.com, log on to such and such a day. You need to hear this for yourself. God has a word for you. But for the master, it was not just about the resources, it was about the servants. And so for those servants who wanted to operate in the same way that the master did, he said this: enter into the joy of your Lord. I tell you, those are words that every believer should long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your rest. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I'm looking forward to, is when I get to heaven. You see, I've had people that have asked me, they said, why do you work so hard when you pastor such a small church? I'm not here to pastor a small church. I'm here to speak the word of God and share the love of God with a community to the best of my ability, knowing that one day I'm going to get to give an account, and it's going to be the things that have been done by faith that God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I long to hear. The thing I don't want to hear is, you wicked and lazy servant. You see, that servant didn't get to enter into the joy of the Lord. He got to enter into being cast out into darkness and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So I ask you, have you found Jesus an irreplaceable treasure that is worth everything in your life because he is? And if you have, I encourage you to get actively involved in your church. If you don't have a church, we would love to have you come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God. We have bigger vision than we have laborers to be able to fill those roles. We have plenty of ministry needs. And so I want to encourage you, there is joy for allowing God to teach you how to do life his way. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.